on your search engine, you type it, as I'll show you here. You go on there to DuckDuckGo.com. Don't go to Google. That's our enemy. Bypass those guys. Go to 26 space, USC space, 861, the section of the law you're looking for, space house.gov. You're going to get the answer right here. Okay, the first search result is right here. And this is from the website of the United States House of Representatives Council, the lawyers of the U.S. House of Representatives. And you see right here, Section 861 is income from sources within the United States. And so you read this law, and the regulations, by the way, are based upon the law. The regulations are what the executive branch of the U.S. Treasury writes based upon the law to fill in the minor gaps of the law, okay, or fill in the details of the law, I should say. The gross income from sources within the United States. Following items of gross income shall be treated as income from sources within the United States. And here you see interest, you know, from the United States or the District of Columbia, you know, things like that it talks about. You go down, it talks about dividends. You know, you go further, talks about a bunch of other stuff, personal services, you know, perform in the United States, okay? Except, you know, talks about, you know, compensation for labor or services perform in the United States. You see this term? Sources within the United States. This keeps coming up. A non-resident alien, individual temporarily present in the United States. The word United States is continually there, you know. Someone not engaged in trade or business within the United States. See, this word is key. Understanding what does mean to be a citizen or resident of the United States. Okay, so a domestic or foreign a partnership or domestic corporation of the United States, of course, right? See, the word United States is critical to understanding this whole thing. Okay, but this is something that Larkin never took a closer look. And I don't blame Larkin because, you see, the Internal Revenue Code is immense. It's huge. Look at how thick this doggone thing is. Okay? Over 10,000 sections, over 100,000 sections in this tissue-thin paper. Tiny font. Look at that. You know? So back in the days, folks, when Larkin, you know, in early 2000 years, when Larkin was around, in 1990s, when I started in 1990, you know, Larkin and I, people like us, had to go to a physical law library, open up a law book like that, find the right pages of these laws, and read a little bit of it. There's no way we could read everything. No one has. No human being has ever read the Internal Revenue Code in whole. And find a section like I've done in the back and maybe tap some of those key sections that you found relevant or interesting. And then they refer to other sections of the code. It's just a huge, crazy, elaborate. Anyhow, thanks to internet now and laws are available for free on internet. Now I've been able, in the last 2 years, to look up things like that, which Larkin and I and others could not physically, practically do. It was nearly impossible. You had to spend weeks and months in the law library to find everything you're looking for, photocopy them, take them home, label them in a folder what it is, you know, and then the other section it relates to. You know, and then you want to give it to somebody, you have to copy it. They highlight the part, relevant part and tell what it's all about because the language is very convoluted sometimes and give it to your friend. Now it's much easier. So all that was not available to Larkin. And so what happened, he never looked at definitions. So what Larkin did, he looked for that at regulations. 26 CFR. Here we go. See, this is CFR, Code of Federal Regulation. Here we go. Here it is. CFR stands for Code of Federal Regulations at ecfr.gov. You can go see it, published by the National Archives and the Records Administration. And for example, here you see part 1.861-1, income from sources within the United States. The term United States is there, but is taken for granted. That means the 50 states, when it does not mean the 50 states. So the first thing to know is that Larkin was in error about this because he did not understand the definitions, which I'm going to show you. And then I'm going to show you why he went to prison and how you could avoid his fate. Okay? So let's go to look up definitions. If you go on, again, on DuckDuckGo.gov, 26 space USC space 7701 space house.gov. Okay? And it comes up. Here it is. Okay? Definitions. Okay? Open that link in a new tab of the Internal Revenue Code. Here we go. There it is, folks. 26 USC 7701 definitions. And it tells you right there, it is from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, okay, Chapter 79, definitions. Let's go down, and we see definitions. And some of you see this before. It says in 7701A, when used in this title, Title 26, they define all these terms like person. Yes, they want to define person, partnership, and partner. And nope, what you and I think doesn't matter. We got to go by those exact definitions in the law. Take the time to write these detailed definitions, corporation, domestic, foreign, fiduciary, stock, shareholder, United States. And you see the term United States when used in a geographical sense, well, that's the only sense we care to know. What landmass does the United States refer to, right? It includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Well, so it looks like so far we got the tiny, itty-bitty District of Columbia, but also the states we have to look up. And here it is. The state is also defined to be construed to include the District of Columbia again, where such construction or interpretation is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title, which is Title 26. Here we go. United States means basically the District of Columbia plus a state, which is also District of Columbia, which is only, again, the, this is what Larkin didn't know. Okay? And that was a mistake. Assumed, like all of us, that the 50 states means the United States. It's not. They can define things in law very uniquely if they want to. And I'll tell you that because the Supreme Court tells us that. Okay? Let's go to the front page of my website at livefreenow.org. First of all, if you want to further more about this issue, go to right here on the front page. When I tell you that based on U.S. government's official websites that there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. And the proof is in this 9-minute video. Just listen to this 9-minute video when you drive to or from work. Watch it next time you have a meal, lunch or dinner. 9 minutes, okay? And you see the proof for yourself. Now, the law, I'm going to bring it to you right here, by the way, on our, if you go on our website, on the petitions, click on that. You go to petitions we have on our website, how to free yourself from IRS by going doing our petitions at the bottom of that page. On the bottom left, click on the gold, any of these, and you get these petitions. Here's one of them, for example, on income tax. And here's sample petition, the green black thing. You can click on that. And what you do here is a petition, sample one. And you see in these petitions, court cases. Yes. These are U.S. Supreme Court cases, not petitions. And this Supreme Court tells you about these definitions, why they're so important to understand correctly. Here's the Supreme Court of Meese versus Keene, 1987 U.S. Supreme Court case. And in the relevant page, here it is, the U.S. Supreme Court tells us this about definition, that it is axiomatic, which means self-evident, that the statutory definition of the term, something defined by law, by statutes, excludes unstated meanings of that term. Something's not there. In definition, it's not there. The word United States, folks, here includes District of Columbia. That's all there is there, plus states. But states is also only the District of Columbia. You cannot assume the 50 states are there because they're not, according to U.S. Supreme Court. And again, the judges remind us that as judges and all of us, it is all of our duty to construe, interpret, to understand legislation as it is written, not as it might be read by a layman, not as it might be read or understood by you, me, or the average person, okay? Or as it might be understood by someone who has not even read it. Again, the average person never reads the law, so the average person's interpretation of the law does not matter, okay? So, a 61 argument is incorrect as a matter of law because I'm going to show you the United States, but it is only District of Columbia. So here what we have in the law when Larkin Rose has all the stuff about something within or a domestic partnership, domestic to what? To Washington, D.C. Someone, an individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States means someone who is a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C. Someone who is or is not engaged in the trade or business within the United States is someone who has got a trade or business within Washington, D.C. All these definitions talking about sources within the United States means within Washington, D.C. Perform in the United States means perform Washington, D.C. These are critical. You see the word domestic corporation? That is a Washington, D.C. corporation that it is speaking about. So, now, if you go back to the definitions, look at the term domestic. And that's very important for you to understand, too. Look at the term domestic under section, here we go, section 7701 definitions. They actually define the term domestic as well. What does domestic mean? It means when applied to a corporation or partnership means created or organized in the United States, which means in Washington, D.C., or under the law of the United States, which means under the law of Washington, D.C., or of any state, which means or of Washington, D.C. You see, this is all Washington, D.C. that the whole 867 argument was related to talk about, not the 50 states. So he was wrong about that. Again, not blaming Larkin because he did his best at the time. Now, what happened that he went to prison? Well, I was at his trial in 2005. And 2006, he served and got convicted. What happened is that Larkin Rose was, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, was a big proponent of the income tax fraud, exposing it. This is the full-page ads of We the People Foundation of Bob Schultz. Okay? That this is one of four of them that was paid for by We the People for a Foundation for Constitutional Education. Larkin Rose is a guy right there in the center that you see. Let me see here. There we go. That's it. That's Larkin Rose. Okay. I'm going to make it close so you can see his picture better. Okay. Here we go. Can you see it? Yep. Larkin in the center right there. Okay, you have to file a federal tax return or pay income tax. These experts say no. There were about four of these U.S. Today ads. These are reprints of those ads, which Freedom Law School has available, the only source in the whole world that I know of has them. The New People Foundation itself doesn't have it. Okay? These ads. So anyhow, so basically Larkin wrote to the IRS and said, look, I'm right. If I'm wrong, come and prosecute me. He actually did that. Literally, he did that. So Garman answered Larkin's invitation and said, okay, we'll prosecute it. And you see, but before they did that, after I saw these ads, I called Larkin. Said, I got his number from somebody. His number was on his website. You could not reach him, but I got it from somebody. I said, hey, Larkin. This is Payman Motayede. I am the president of Freedom Law School. I'd like to work with you. We in the freedom movement got to work together like the founding fathers of America, who had many differences amongst themselves, but they worked with each other despite their differences about various issues like slavery. Larkin declined my invitation. Larkin felt that he was right. Anyone had to learn from him because he's always the only one that's right. Rather than talking and listening and sharing, exchanging information, I check out what you got. You check out what I got. You both learn from each other and get better. He declined that. And so at his trial, also, he chose not to have a lawyer represent him because he felt he knew the law sufficiently by himself. Well, folks, there's procedures in basketball game, football, volleyball, any game. So does the court. If you don't know the rules of the game, you're going to lose. You're going to be fouled. You're going to call you out for a foul, and you lose the ball. So he did not know enough about procedures of a criminal federal court. As a result, he didn't do things he could have, should have done. All he did was had Larry Beecraft, a great freedom lawyer from Alabama, a friend of mine. He had him, hired him to be there to assist him in case he wanted to consult with someone. So Larry Beecraft went there. I went there. And I was one of the very people closest to him because he knew I'm a head of a freedom organization, not just a person who's interested to watch his case and support him. I was a bigger supporter. So I talked to Larkin about things, about his preparations and everything, what's going on, what's he doing. And I didn't get there the first day. So I understand the judge did not allow him to produce the law to the jury. Why? Because he did not make a record ahead of time. He should have written his opinion about 861 to a congressman, to the IRS, or U.S. Treasury, to say, if I'm wrong or right, let me know, and I'm going to rely upon your telling me I'm right or wrong. Had he done that, he would not be in prison. Because his letters to Congress, IRS or U.S. Treasury, he would get to show to the jury, hey, I relied upon them not correcting me if I was wrong. And the law requires the government to convict you of willful failure to file a tax return. In other words, you had a duty to file a tax return. You knew you had a duty to file a tax return, and you didn't. And the courts summarily tell jurors, every American in the 50 states is required to file income tax if you make over so much income, and the only defense left for you is that you did not willfully not file income tax returns. And Larkin's defense was, I believed that by law I'm not required to file income tax returns. But because the jury could not see the arguments of Larkin Rose that seemed to make sense, because if the United States meets the 50 states, had a different understanding, okay? He didn't get to present the jury. He didn't know court procedures. He didn't get to introduce the evidence before the jury, and the jury duly convicted him very quickly. The day, I remember that it was early afternoon, that the last day of the trial was early afternoon when it finished. The jury came back literally like within about an hour and a half. That's it, with a conviction. For 5 years of willful failure to file tax returns. Okay. However, at the time, since he saw he was beat, the judge was actually one of the better judges I've seen out there. You know, they remind me of the character Fish in the late 70s TV series, Barney Miller. For some of you old timers might remember Barney Miller. He kind of reminds me of the character Fish. That the big guy, Italian guy with the big nose, and looks like he picked his nose in those trials a bunch of times. Well, he's the judge. What are you going to say? So, anyhow, the judge, told him, if he cooperate, he might consider a lower sentence. And Larkin filed tax returns for those years under duress. So he could have gotten 5 years of prison sentence. But because he filed, the judge gave him only 15 months, just barely over a year. And he served only 13 months, basically only a year. By the way, fathers get allowed longer prison sentences. He's a non-father only for 5 years. Could have gone maximum of 5 years. He got 1 year, basically, up for sentencing. Whereas as a father, for every single tax return, is 9 years that you could potentially go to jail. So as a filer, if Larkin was a filer and had mistaken his tax return, he could have gone to prison for up to 9 times 5, 45 years. Maximum sentence. Okay? Instead of only 5 years. So you see, non-filing is much, much safer, low risk than a filer. Now, what I'm going to show you is why you don't ever have to worry about going to prison with income tax anyways, folks, okay? Let's go to Freedom Officer's website at livefreenow.org, okay? And when you go there, folks, go under Education Materials tab, and the menu that comes up there, the very first item there is called The Dangers of Filing Income Tax Returns. So open that tab in a new link in a new tab, and you get here, and it tells you that you are twice as likely to be struck by lightning than to be sent to prison for filing 1040 tax confession forms. Really? I mean, you don't go walking around worried about being struck by lightning, do you? No. Well, then, when you don't stop filing, you don't worry about going to jail. It's not going to happen, folks. It's very, very unlikely. But look at this. If you're in law school, if you go down, I got this video right here. Okay, avoid tax prison 100% of the time. Yes. This video, I'll show you how to rely on the law as published by the website of the United States government. And if you do that, you'll never go to jail, because why? What you're supposed to do, all of us, is to follow the law. Where's the law found? Oh, yeah, the law is found on the government's official legal websites, House of Representatives, United States Treasury regulations, and Supreme Court. Yep, that's all we rely upon at Freedom Law School. That's what you should be doing. That's what every lawyer should tell you. So simply do that. In this video, we talk about that. Send these petitions that I showed you right here. On our website, you can find them under on the petitions tab, okay? On our website. And you don't have to worry about the IRS trying to put you in jail. They can't. You will not have the fate of Larkin Rose. Just write them to U.S. Congress, and you will lawfully free yourself from the IRS, deception, robbery, and slavery. And the sample petitions look like this. They have the law exactly verbatim, quoted correctly from the law as published on the websites, official websites. And all these quotations of law that you see are attached, as you see like this one, the Supreme Court decision, and relevant language highlighted. And you tell your congressman, if I'm wrong, please correct me. If I'm right, please go and correct the IRS, U.S. Department of Injustice lawyers and judges from misapplying the law. So folks, there you have it. Larkin Rose didn't have the tools that are available to you to live free. You don't ever have to worry about going to prison. If you simply learn the law at our website at livefreedom.org, right? I have it right here for you, as you can see. Let me remind you, if you've not seen our videos, make sure you start here on our front page videos, okay? Start here. The video right here. And it takes you through five of the short videos. They're all, okay? Watch these first. Why there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file income tax. Start with that first. And then you go on to education materials to dangers of filing income tax returns. Then the IRS is mostly bluff. Oh, boy, you guys will love that. Mm-hmm. Start with these right here, these three right here, and you're on your way to freedom. And if you don't want to, people say, people, I don't want to lawyer up, learn all this. Okay, fine. You guys want some backup? I'll provide the backup. Okay, I'll give you even a seven-year million-dollar guarantee if you want. Okay, you can lawfully stop filing and paying income tax with our Royal Freedom Package. Freedom Muscle will keep the IRS from living your money for 7 years minimum, or Freedom Muscle will reimburse you up to $1 million. Folks, there's nothing like this out there. Nothing. Nobody has such a solid guarantee like this. And the Royal Freedom Package, folks, is very affordable. And for those of you who are low income, we got for young people, we charge less. And I'm creating some scholarships for those of you who are low income to even lower the price for you guys. So if you're interested in that, call Field Law School at 813-444-4800. We might be able to reduce it for some of you with lower incomes to get the support that you want, unlimited consultation, unlimited help, representation if necessary by an attorney. Field Law School will pay. All that will be done with you with the Royal Care Package, if that's what you want. The petitions I showed you are the heart of the education of you, your congressman, and our program to defend you from IRS's criminal or civil attacks. It's key. You can do that by yourself if you want to. It's on our website. But we'll do it for you if you want. Prepare the letters for you, petitions, if you want for your mosque to do it for you. So with that, I want you to know this. It was no accident that you came across our videos. You were meant to come across here in law school. You were looking for freedom. You wanted to be free. You wanted to no longer be a slave. And you loved the truth. You fear the IRS, you put it aside, and you loved the truth and said, I'm going to go on this journey, find the truth. And you found it at Field Law School. An organization that has been around for over 26 years, whose leader has been doing this for 29 years in this stuff. So you found what you're looking for. Keep on going to our website, livefreenow.org. Listen on your smartphone in your car as you drive safely to our videos. Listen in your car. Use that dead time to educate yourself. And then when you have your meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, put it up on your cell phone in front of you. Watch it. Or at home, if you got time, even better on a big screen. Watch it. Educate yourself. And you'll be free, my friend. And I wish you love, freedom, prosperity, and happiness. Okay, 33 minutes, right? Okay, maybe I should have short on this or not. What do you think? I guess I could do one, huh? Maybe I should do one. So let me close some of these tabs, guys. Having some of my people answer some of these questions you guys are having online. Yes, I do have people help you with that stuff. You think I should do a short video now or answer questions first, guys? What do you guys think? Now I could do short at the end, I suppose, huh? Or toward the end. Let me see. Let's see what question. Put the call number on the screen, guys. Let's see if I can answer some questions live and on Blog Talk also, okay? Let's see what questions do we have on there. From Gary. Oh, Gary, I know you've been following us, my friend, on YouTube. Good to see you on our Freedom Hour Live. Gary says, you used the penumbral right in court today. Pissed the judge off the right to privacy. I told him if you want any information, get a warrant. Well, I don't know what the penumbral right is, so I plead ignorance. I have to look it up. Plus, it sounds to me this is not the tax case anyhow. Was it? If it was, let me know. So, you know, I cannot comment on that, my friend. So I wish you the right of privacy, which they must protect them. Okay, right, Tim? We have five questions. Maybe I got to go to the top of that question. Oh, I got to go up. So I don't have, can I comment on that, Gary? Okay. Who should I go questions first? Anthony, should I go him? Oh, Block Talk, we got calls. Oh, great. So I'm going to give my yellow tab, please, guys. I left it behind. Can you give me a yellow sticky? Okay. So somebody give me a yellow tab, and I'm going to get a question call from error code 505 and then 636. Okay. All right, guys. Get the yellow tab for me. Thank you. All right. All right. From New Mexico, call from error code 505. Give me your first name only for your privacy and how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hello, is this me?
Yes.
My name is Sperry Andrews. So you and I have spoken before, Payman, many months ago. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, continue. Yes, go ahead, Sperry.
Thank you. I sent in my questions by fax. I was told to say that you have the questions, and I did receive a call back from you all confirming that, to just remind you that you have the questions that I faxed in with the tax form.
Guys, the question he's talking about, whoever he talked to, should someone get it to you, please? Because who did you speak with? A man, woman? What was the name?
Eric called me back, Payman.
Eric called you. Okay, Eric, you know what he's talking about? He says you called him back. He says, Sperry. About how long did you call? About how many hours ago was it about, Sperry? And Dave,
Eric called me a couple of days ago, Payman.
Oh, a couple of days ago he called you. Okay, all right. Well, did you fax your question to us? How did you get it to us?
I faxed it to you over a week ago.
Okay. He says he's got it. He's going to get it to me. He's coming up. Okay, all right. Now, Bob, let me put you on hold then. I'm going to go over another document of somebody, Jeff. And Jeff sent this document, and I'm going to go over his thing.
Well, I have some other questions I could ask you that are related.
Go ahead.
Would that be all right? Yeah, so you haven't really talked about state tax law. If we're a resident in a particular state and we're making income or whatever, are we required to file state tax forms?
Most states that claim to have a state income tax, they either by law or on their tax forms refer to the federal tax law and its definitions or to the federal tax form to get the number from the tax form, that federal form you fill out, to put on your state tax form. So since by definition you don't owe any federal income tax, if the state has the same definitions, you don't owe a state income tax either. On the other hand, if the federal tax form that they want you to fill out, you're not required to fill out. So the numbers for your federal tax return would be obviously a zero. You would take that zero per the instructions of a state tax form on top of the state tax form, or then you're not required per the instructions of the state tax form to fill out the state tax form either, because you have zero. So most states are like that. As I understand it so far, I heard Pennsylvania and New Jersey are the only two states that I know of that they don't do their laws that way, their income tax laws. But most other states, like New Mexico, you're not required to file income tax. Okay?
Or Arizona.
Or yes. Yep. They adopted it. Yeah, they did. That's right. Okay. So
I didn't understand. I'm sorry. I didn't understand your answer about Arizona, Payman.
Again, I have not looked every single state. There's 42 states that claim to have a state income tax. To be honest with you, no one that I know of out there have looked at state tax laws of every single state. Because remember, America is not a country. It's a union.
Sure.
13 countries, they became 50 countries. And those 13 countries created a 14th government, the United States, and they gave it Washington, D.C. as its seat. So right now we have 51 countries in America. So no one has looked up all the states. I've not looked up every single one of them. But I'll tell you, the only ones that we found so far that have income tax that is independent of federal tax law reforms is New Jersey. And I heard Irwin Schiff 20-plus years ago say Pennsylvania. But I got to haven't looked that one up yet. So you just got to look that one up.
What I heard is, when you speak a little too fast, the audio is not it's not a great quality, so it slurs, and I can't understand what you're saying. So if you could separate your words sometimes instead of speaking really quickly.
For your reminder, yes.
I understand what you said. Thank you, Payman. And then, so what about local taxation for a county in like Arizona? Are we required to pay local property taxes, for example?
Property tax is a complete separate issue, unrelated to federal or state income tax. Property taxes are completely legal in all 50 states that have them.
Okay.
Just sales tax, gas tax, DMV taxes, all of those must be paid.
Yes. Okay. Good. Thank you. Well, have you got the six? I have the six questions that I sent in by fax. Do you have them?
Yes, let me go through them one at a time, okay? You have closed your Schwab bank account in California, which they had emptied and refiled in lieu of you saying over the phone that you'd pay them back month by month before speaking with you. You did not pledge this in writing or sign anything. I'm not clear about what you're saying, that you'd empty then refiled. How do you refile?
Refilled. They refilled my bank account after emptying it. I called them. I said it was found out that my tenant in my property in Arizona had not forwarded three letters from them, from the state of California, this is. And so I got somebody nice, and they said, oh, okay, poor thing. And they put the money back that they had taken, which was only about $300 or something, but it was all I had. And so they put that back in. And so that's where I got to. That was quite a while ago. And now we're at the level where they've sent me the demand for to pay the California state taxes. I'm in Hawaii. And you had told me last time I spoke to you that, you know, that it's not legal for them to, because every state is their own country, if you will, and that they could not legally tax me or take money out of my Hawaiian bank accounts. In my case, I have three Federal Credit Union bank accounts that are, they do not have any chapters or in California. They're all only in Hawaii. And so I'm hoping that they don't legally take, because of this thing, they gave me a 30-day notice here as of 20 days ago that they were going to, you know, come after me, basically. That's what I've sent you. So that's okay. The answer to the question.
You ask, you put four different paragraphs, and then you ask at the 5-1. You know, what your question bottom line was, that do you need to close your accounts, just your PayPal accounts, and are you completely protected? That's what you're asking, basically. Okay.
Basically, well, yeah, I want to find out how vulnerable am I?
Okay. Well, PayPal, I believe, has accounts in President California. So your PayPal account, they could, okay, FDB can do that. And
the question was, can they charge, even though I don't have anything in my account, maybe about 11 cents or something, can they charge my PayPal account and then PayPal demand payment?
No. They can only take if you have any money in your PayPal account. They cannot charge or have PayPal pay them. Basically, you can borrow from PayPal or, you know, or credit cards. They cannot force you to borrow. All credit cards are, and what PayPal provides you is the ability to borrow money from them. Okay, they can have IRS. Nobody with a judgment of any kind can go say, hey, you agreed to borrow, let Sperry borrow some money. So go ahead and give me some money. Now you go, you know, that money, lend it to him and make him pay you. No, they cannot do that. Okay?
Yeah, no, I would have to qualify, and I don't qualify. So.
Yeah. And the credit.
So the same with my Navy, the same with my Navy Federal credit card account then, which does have a branch in California. All they have there is what I owe Navy Federal on my credit card. So I guess they can't charge that, or no.
They cannot charge any credit card. Force them to lend you and then take the money. They cannot do that.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
You entrust with them, yes. Okay?
So what is the danger of them potentially doing something illegal and attaching or garnering funds out of my my Hawaii-based Federal Credit Union accounts?
Zero. If you have the credit union has no branches in California, you're completely safe. Just like if someone from Egypt or France want to come take your money. They have no authority.
Oh, that's great. Great news. That's great news, Payman. I thought maybe they were. Everybody says California is the worst. They'll do things that no other state will do. So I was a little worried there. So then I have, as I told you last time.
Hold on. I got five other people with questions. So you got a lot of questions.
One last question, Payman. I filed federal tax with a tax attorney for the sale of a property in Rhode Island when I was a resident in California, and the total on that, which the California portion was originally $6,500, the federal portion was $23,000, which I wasn't able to pay, and my tax attorney said, you know, it can sometimes take 3 years before, if you don't pay anything and you don't speak to them, that they will come and they'll attach your accounts no matter what state you're in. What do you say about that?
He's incompetent.
Excuse me? He's incompetent.
He's incompetent. He's bad advice. You know, they cannot take your money that you have in Egypt, France, you know, or Wyoming or South Dakota.
Okay, so it's only because California was able to take a money out of a California account. In this case, it was a Schwab account.
Right.
So I filed, you know, there was that late filing that Trump created in the summer of 2020. So it's been 2020, 2021, going on 2022. So it hasn't been quite 2 years yet since I have not paid that federal tax. What is your thought about they're going to excuse or destroy or do away with the IRS at this point? Have you heard any news about that?
This is the last question for you, my answer for you, my friend, before I get to five other people. If you owe the federal government, you can go in 50 states, take the money, number one. Number two, you know, the IRS is not about to disappear on its own anytime soon, automatically. It's not going to happen. Okay? So don't let that be part of your plans, my friend. Let me take these five people's calls. If you have time after these calls, I might be able to take more call questions from you, Sperry, okay? Because I didn't have a lot of questions. Okay, guys, who's the next call we have waiting right now to get the question answered? 636. Give me the area code, the other callers, please. Two calls from area code 949. With prefix 228 and 751. All right, who else? Do you have two other number of people? 214 area code. And area code 407. Folks, wait. I'll try to get you guys as soon as I can. Don't be patient. And 309 also popped. That will give you a lot of questions. So, folks, make your questions short and brief, shorter than Sperry, so I can get to everybody else without having to wait too long. So area code 636, your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Angie. Hello, and this is the first time I'm calling. And I have...
What do you hear about Freedom, Angie?
Okay, I have a question because the gentleman, he sort of touched on it when it came... Can you hear me? Hello,
yes.
Can you
How
hear
did
me?
You hear about Freedom Law School, Angie?
A friend told me about the Freedom Law School, and so I had a concern about something, and he said, call, and they'll answer your question. So I decided to do that today.
Okay.
So this might pertain to the Freedom Law School, may not. So anyway, I haven't really filed any tax returns for like 10 years. And I deliberately didn't want to. So nothing's really happened. And I've been using PayPal for a long time. And now they want me to put my Social Security. I never had my Social Security in the PayPal account. And now, would it make a difference if I did put my Social Security number? Because they would report everything that I've done on PayPal to the Social Security Department. Or would I be shooting myself in the foot? I'm sorry. I don't know if it pertains to the Freedom Law School, but I thought I'd ask if it's jeopardizing me or if it's just okay and nothing will come out of it. Or I'm just curious about that.
Angie, there's no black and white answer to some of the questions. Yes, it would be better if they do not have a Satan surveillance number from you, a slave surveillance number called Social Security number. Let me say it. It's better for them not to have one, although they make to close your account. But I would not give a $30,000 if you think. It's better that they don't have it. If they do get it, it's not the end of the world. IRS is not God, all-seeing, omnipresent God, that Angie with that SS number I got, I'm going to nail her. David with that SS number, I got it. A bunch of incompetent idiots at the IRS. Very disorganized. So, okay, I help people with SS numbers all the time. You get 1099 mm-hmm. all the time. So what? IRS doesn't know what to do with those things. They're so incompetent. You got to go, all of you. I know this is a very common thing. I've noticed that. You say, oh, Paymon, I watched your videos. No, you've not. You really, really got to watch this page on our website on the education materials go down to IRS's mostly bluff, okay? You guys got to get this out of your head that IRS is God. It's not. It's bluff, okay? I got two videos, a third one added here. They're a bunch of incompetent idiots with antiquated 60-year-old computers, the oldest in the entire federal government, okay? So you don't have to be afraid of them, you know, like you are. Educate yourself, empower yourself. You know, I'm not a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in creation. I'm very, believe in we're a spiritual being on earth very much. My wife is a Christian, but I do believe this in the Bible very much. It says, speak the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You guys got to go, Angie, tomorrow on your drive to and from work, listen to that video. That's your homework. Every one of you. Okay. Folks, why are you wasting your time in car listening to music? You're going to be free or you're going to be a happy slave listening to music, la-di-da-di-da-da. Put that time to use. That I know you're busy. Use that dead time to work, and you won't be living in fear. You'll be happy.
I see. Okay.
Got it?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
anything
I did
else?
Get it.
Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand what you're saying, because I'm living in fear right now because of it, yes.
Yeah, so you don't need to. Here it is. On the education materials, IRS mostly about let your cell phone either connect your audio system in your car or get one of those $10, $20 devices, attach it to your car, let it play. You don't have to watch it. You just listen to it. Then when you're having lunch, at work, put it up. Now you can watch it while you're eating your sandwich or whatever. Yeah, why are you doing this? So tell your friend there, hey, hold on, I'm sorry, I'll love to talk to you, but right now I got to watch this information about IRS, which is absolutely amazing. They're not God. They're not this invisible power they want us to be. I'm going to watch this. You're welcome to watch it with me. And we can talk later on another time, okay?
Okay.
You watch this and you're going to go, wow. Amazing. Wow. I'm glad I knew that. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Angie. Let's go to the caller from area code 949-228. My old stomping grounds, Orange County, California, where Freedom Law School was created. What's your name and how did you hear about Freedom?
Online many years ago. I spoke to you before, and I can't believe you were right. So I just want to start out by saying thank you. Anyway, so it was online.
Your first name?
Vanessa.
Okay, Vanessa. How can I help you?
I received a letter, so I thought I would call because I know that you have the answer. Let's see here. So the most recent letter, which I tried to send in, I don't know if it went through to you or not, but I received a deferral letter. From the State of California Franchise Tax Board, filing enforcement section, we approve your request for additional time to file your 2017 and California income tax return. You must file by December 31st, 2021. I did not. What you need to do, complete your 2017 California income tax and send it to us by such and such If you do not file your 2017 gains by such and such, we will assess tax, limited liability, company fee if applicable based on available information. We may also assess demand penalties.
Hold on, I got a letter. So what's your question, Vanessa? I know what that letter is. What's your question?
What do you suggest I do in regards to this letter?
Nothing. About that letter, nothing you need to do.
Okay. Thank God.
Educate yourself and prepare yourself, okay, with the whole IRS FDD issue as a whole. You see, you got to remember this, Vanessa. See, these guys are a bunch of thieves.
They definitely do they really enjoy the scare tactic, and whoever responds, that's who they go after, that's who they get. So
what do you do for a living, Melissa?
Oh, geez. Let's see. I drive for Uber.
Okay.
So I do kind of all kinds of whatever. I just do what I can.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. So do you file paying income tax with the IRS? Hello?
No.
It looks like she cut it off. You do?
No. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
You don't file paying income tax with the IRS, right?
I did not.
Good. So IRS is easier than the FTD. You know, but, you know, look, you probably want to do a detailed one-on-one private consultation. So look at your whole situation, because FTD could come after you for 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21 maybe coming up. So what to do about these? You really need to have a cohesive strategy. It is not always a one way to do things. Sometimes you have options. For example, one option is, you have a fantastic paying job that pays you $300,000 a year or $500,000 a year in California. Anyhow, you're just Uber driver.
Yeah, they don't care. They're gonna take money anywhere and any from anyone they can. Well, I mean, they're gonna take anything they possibly can.
And I tell you this: maybe what you ought to do is just get the heck out. Get the heck out of the international communist, not liberal, communist republic of Mexicania. They deliver it, but all the illegal aliens, eventually they have them vote communist. Just get the heck out. You can be Uber driver in Florida. Be free. Don't have to suffocate yourself. Right?
Okay.
Why are you sticking around in California? Why staying in California, Vanessa? Why?
I'm not leaving unless I get, my friends and family and my loved ones out of here. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna leave.
So you come out and bring him with you. You come out and bring him with you. And if you can, you come out and then show them that's the way to go. You got to go, look, people came from Europe, from Germany, England, France, in 1700s, 1800s, to America, land of the free, land of the opportunity. Well, guess what? And then in 1800s, they went west. Go west, young man. California, the golden state. Now it's changed. The golden state is a rat state of California. Now go east, young man, young woman, Florida, the free state. Why not go to the free state? Just come out. That's what you got to do. Come from Europe to America. Go from New York, go west. California. From California, go to Florida. That's it. That's what you got to do. That's the easiest answer. If they don't come, you come. You show them what a paradise they're missing. The cost of housing, living is incredibly low. Incredibly low.
Okay.
You come see it. So go look online. In fact, I did a video on this. I'm pretty sure I did. On the why Florida is the best way. And again, as an Uber driver, you can be Uber driver in Florida. So your loved ones will come. Fine. Okay? That's your best solution.
Yes, that's true. Thank you.
Other than that, you have to pay me to manage this California situation you can just simply avoid. That's what I prefer to do. We'll avoid them.
Right, I know. Okay, that sounds okay. Good. I'll give your office a call again.
Okay, you're welcome. Who we got now?
Thank
we
you.
Got Erica 941. You're welcome, Vanessa. Call her from prefix 751 949. 751, what is your first name? And then how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Adrian, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm Adrian. I heard about you a while ago. I found you online. My question to you is this. I have two, if you don't mind. So the first question is, first of all, my employer, private employer, switched payroll software to a company called Gusto, my W-4. I tried to put exempt on there. It was an online thing. I tried to put exempt, but it wouldn't allow exempt. I just put zero. You think that's good enough?
No. You did the opposite. You told the company to withhold from your paycheck maximum over withhold. So you have to file some money back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to talk to them and redo it. So on an online type of thing, since you can't put exempt, what would you put?
Adrian, you're one of our students, my friend.
I am, yeah.
Number, you're entitled to unlimited private consultation. Remember, Royal and Simple Freedom Package members get unlimited consultation, okay? You get also membership with a criminal legal defense. Freedom Law School will protect you, defend you, and pay attorneys to defend you in case they come after you criminally. The only thing you don't have, which the Royal Freedom Package member has, is in case they come after you for money, you have to pay us extra to do it for you, or you do it yourself. But you get unlimited consultation. That's what you're paying for. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Publicly, call privately. We'll discuss your case. Okay. Let me get these guys who don't have access to me. Okay.
Okay.
And
sounds good.
Members,
yeah, that's fine.
And then you call privately. We can talk. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, my friend. Let's go with the call from Erica 214, then 407. Caller after that.
Okay, Paymon?
Yes.
My wife and I filed jointly in 2018.
First name, how you heard about us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What you heard about us.
Yeah, my name is Mark. I started watching Ron Paul's Liberty Report a little over 5 years ago, and then you came up as a recommended video, I think, via YouTube. And I've been watching you ever since and kind of listening to what you have to say. And I saw you most recently at the Red Pill Expo.
When did Ron Paul video channel refer to you? YouTube gave that suggestion? A year ago, 5 years ago? When was that?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, got it.
And once I started getting into hold the truth movement through Ron Paul, one of your videos came up as a recommendation on YouTube.
Okay.
And somehow through that, I just stumbled upon you. Yeah. And most recently, I saw you at the Red Pill Expo. And I've actually had a consultation with you last year around June, and it's where my first question is regarding part of what we discussed there. And we had a petition the IRS Tax Court of Appeals for, I guess, an assessment that they were trying to levy, and they had scheduled a conference call with us in November, and we did not attend it. And then I guess in December, their appeals officer, I guess, sustained their proposed adjustments, and they provided a decision document for signature. I actually talked to Darlene today on the phone about it, and she said she'd review with you, but she recommended that I call in and ask you, you know, once they, I guess, sustain the proposed adjustments, and basically what happened is when we filed jointly, the reason we did it was to get the tax refund for my wife because she had a regular W-2 job. I'm an independent contractor, and my employer at the time ratted me out through the 1099. So that's how they got me. I didn't input my information when we filed. My wife put hers in and we filed jointly, but I didn't put any information, and via the 1099 process, that they essentially are assessing tax on the entire 1099 income. of course, I didn't have any deductions or anything because I didn't actually go through that process. So anyway, my question is, if they sustain these proposed adjustments, is there a way to go back and actually appeal it? And like, what would be the next step at this point? Yeah, they're basically asking me to sign these documents and saying, essentially agreeing that we owe this, you know, this amount of tax.
Please admit the office a little cooler, please, guys. First of all, I got to see the paperwork. I cannot give you anything, any comment without just calling the doctor. Hey, doctor, I got eye problem, back problem, knee problem, you know, on the phone. Tell me how to fix it. Sorry, I cannot do that. I got to see your paperwork.
You're
probably going to need another consultation, maybe half hour consultation, follow-up.
Right.
You know,
right.
To see what's going on. I charge $600 per hour. The first hour, you had to have half price at $300. But this month, you may need only just a follow-up with what you got
right.
going on for that $300 if you want to do it for half hour. But I got to see your paperwork
okay.
to see what's going on. Just a doctor or dentist.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. So Darlene mentioned she's going to circle back with you, and you are going to let me reach back out and, I guess, set up a consultation or a follow-up. So that's perfect.
Right,
and then
right.
I have a second question. We followed your petitioning to Congress, and we did that, mm-hmm. and the 60 days expired December 15th. So I couldn't
mm-hmm.
remember. I hadn't looked on your website, but I was curious. We hadn't got any kind of a response. So what was the next thing that we needed to do, or do we need to do anything additionally at this point?
Well, right now I'm in a process of improving the petitions that we have on our website. So we've done two more complete. I think three of them complete. We have one more left to complete. One to one and a half. And get that done first because they need to update it. They need to be improved. And I keep improving and make it better and better. So when I finish that, then I'll be working on follow-up letter to congressmen as to why these guys are not doing their job, why they're violating their oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. That's the job description. Without that, they cannot have a job. That's what they're supposed to do. And they're there to supervise the executive and judicial branch criminality and stop it. Okay, but that is something that I have not put together. I'm sorry. I'm very busy. As soon as I can get all that stuff done too, I'll be definitely putting it on our website for everybody for free to do it. And our students, Royal and Simple Freedom Package members will do it for them at Freedom Law School. So I don't have a time
so
for
we'll,
right now.
So we'll essentially re-petition them? Is that what you're saying?
It's going to be a follow-up letter. Follow-up.
Okay. I gotcha. And then if you have a second for one last question, you had mentioned, I think maybe it was at the Red Pill Expo or one of your videos about setting your company up as an unregistered LLC. And then when I attended the Red Pill Expo, there was another gentleman there who talked about private membership associations. And mm-hmm. I was curious if what's the big difference between the two, or if there's someone you can recommend me get in touch with. I've spoken to both of these gentlemen, and so my wife and I are now trying to figure out what the best route is for setting up our company and just for privacy and protection. And so I was kind of just curious if you had any thought about it, or if you knew someone who might help us make the most informed decision we can for heading down one path and then deciding whether to change it.
Is that what
yes.
you said, private membership association?
Correct.
Those are okay. Generally, for most people, I think they find limited liability companies. For most people, they work better. So that's mm-hmm. something that you may want to look into. Okay?
Okay.
But then again, I don't know. Once you talk in our consultation, let me get more information about your situation. Maybe that would be better for you. I can refer you to the proper professional who creates business entities for business to help you,
right.
do
okay.
Make the right decision. Okay. But
yeah.
But know this, your petition to Congress are protecting you. Did you send by certified mail and did you copy
yes.
the certified
yeah.
letter we
absolutely.
Did right
now? My wife and I both did it. We made copies, sent it certified mail. and also took photo evidence of us sending them, so at the post office. And so we have all the documentation showing that we sent it.
And go to USPS.com, the tracking number. It'll show the package was shipped out and delivered. Print it out, add it to your file also.
Okay. Will do.
Very good.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate your time and look forward to hearing from you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I'm glad you called. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that, Mark. Let's go to Call for America 407 and then 309. Call for America 407. What is your first name only? And then how you heard about us and your question.
Thank you, Payman. Name's Ray. How I heard about you, I'm not exactly sure because I've been playing with the IRS since 95. So I probably did a search for Freedom Law School. I'm sure that's the avenue I used to get more information from you. I want to build up my question is, we in 2020, I filed exempt at work with the W-2. We require a physical W-2. I do it through their computer thing, but I had to do a physical form. I got a letter from the IRS stating, now, they didn't take out income tax, but they did take out Social Security and Medicaid. So with my filing for return of overpayment, I filed a form of 4852 for the return of the Social Security and Medicaid, which is $4,600. Last week, I got a letter in the mail from the IRS saying, we are going to apply your overpayment of $4,600 to a tax debt of 2009, which I did not file in 2009. And my question is, what would you do?
First of all, without seeing your letters that you got exactly, I cannot give you a 100% answer because I got to see the letters before I can give you an exact response. But I recognize that you did Pete Hendrickson method of using 4852 to correct the false W-2 that your company sent to the IRS. However, apparently, you still owe the IRS for a previous year, they claim. So you don't have a choice at this point because the IRS is going to either refile a tax return and process it for that year, or apply it to the old year you owe them anyhow. So there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing more to do at this time.
That's what I'm thinking. It's 2009, which they piled on frivolous penalties back then. But I'm thinking I still got a victory because they did recognize and give me the refund of the Social Security and Medicaid. Still fighting for 2018 and 21, I haven't heard back yet, or 21, I actually haven't filed yet. So something, the gears are driving, and it seems to be working, but I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that. I was thinking myself, just let it go, because it's too much of your life to waste with them.
I'm sorry, there's no better advice I can give you. They're going to apply it to the tax you owe from a different year anyhow.
Repeat that, please.
They will apply the tax to 2009 that apparently have an outstanding tax owing to the IRS.
They say I still owe $758 for 2009. So this year, 2018, I haven't got it yet. I haven't got the 2019 refund yet. So we'll see how it goes. But I guess I sort of got a victory. At least they recognized my filing. Maybe they'll come back at me for that because that's just what they do. But I'm not naked and I'm not hungry. So,
yeah. All right. Very good.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions? You're welcome. My
no,
pleasure,
I
my
just
friend.
Wondering, I was just wondering if, you know, what you would do. And I like nothing. I probably will just let it go.
Let that go. Think forward about other years. stop the withholding on your paycheck to begin with, so you don't have to go through this process. And that is on our website at livefreenow.org. It's there under petitions. Again, I showed you other petitions that we have on our website. You go there, okay? You can bottom of the page. You see a petition. Second one from left, the gold circle, is how to free yourself from income tax withholding. You know, follow the procedures here. You do have normal money stolen from your paycheck for income taxes.
I'll do that. Thank you very much. And I'm gonna do that petition also to Congress. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Let's go to the call from Erica 309. Then we're going to go to the material that Jeff sent us to go over at the Freedom Hour. 309 caller, what is your first name? How did you hear about us? And then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. This is Jeff. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Jeff. Is it you the one that sent us the stuff about 2018 to go over?
Yes, sir, it is. And I heard about you several years ago. I actually had your website bookmarked. I think just referral from some other people in the movement that I had come across. And I kept it handy because I thought I would probably need it at some point. And that is my paperwork that I sent in. It sounds like maybe a couple of the questions that are going to come up on my paperwork have been brought up by others earlier. But as you can see, I'm being asked to file a 2018 primarily because of 1099. I work for myself, so about the only income that was reported or turned in was 1099.
Okay. Well, this letter looks like a 30-day letter or something of that sort, it looks like. But they don't tell you that you issue a notice deficiency. They may or may not issue one with
correct.
You. Okay. So it's a new letter. The IRS has changed their letters. I've seen this letter recently. So at this point, nothing specific. Without me talking to you more detail privately about your total picture,
yep.
There's nothing specific to do at this time. Maybe you could or should do something, but not at this time. Probably not at this time, except prepare.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I've been on the website pretty extensively. I will get the petitions
in. Hold on, guys.
In.
I need a short break, guys. I'll be right back. Give me I got to think of something briefly. I'll be right back, guys. Hold on. Let's take a 2-minute break, guys. Please continue.
Yeah. So I had sent that paperwork in. I was planning on doing a private consultation with you as well. My concern was if I should at least reply within the 30-day window so that I'm not, I guess you would say, acquiescing to their presumptions and assumptions possibly.
No, I wouldn't do that. That's not necessary. Do not acquiesce.
Okay.
Or agree to the IRS by not responding to them. Not this. To a notice of deficiency, yes. But not to this.
Okay.
This letter is mostly hype, mostly a scare tactic. But it's dated December 20th. You are smart by contacting me right away to plan and prepare as soon as possible. So we're in a good position at this point to discuss this. And 2019 and 20 and 21 and your whole situation and you're making good planning on that. What state do you live in, by the way, Jeff?
I'm in Illinois.
Illinois, okay. Sorry to hear that, my friend. Okay.
Yeah, the not so great state of Illinois.
Yeah. The communist republic of Illinois, New York, you know, California, Illinois, Hawaii, New Jersey. Yep. But you got your own business. Maybe you can move out. You know.
I don't think I'll be here too much longer. Fortunately, I'm fairly close to Iowa. I'm real close to Iowa, so there's some spillover benefit to that. Not as far as revenue goes, but Yeah, I don't think I'll be here much longer. So, but yeah, I will schedule a private consultation with you tomorrow then, because I'd like to talk about this as soon as we can.
Okay, no problem, my friend. Call my office. They'll
thank
tell you
how
to get on our website. You're welcome, my friend. My pleasure.
Yep. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Okay, do you have any more callers with questions? Call from area code 818 from San Fernando Valley, California, in the southern heart of the International Communist Republic of Mexicania. What is your first name? How you heard about us? And your question, my friend.
My name is Nancy. I heard from a family member about your company. So I had a mm-hmm. question regarding garnishment of wages.
Mm-hmm.
Of wages.
Mm-hmm.
My entire check was garnished back in 2018. And I never received a letter stating the amount of the garnishment. To this day, they've never sent anything, but they state I still owe them.
Who? The IRS or the state of California?
The IRS.
Okay. Okay. How much did they take from your paycheck? For how long?
They took over $5,000 and left me with $75 for the whole month. And I get paid monthly because I work for the state of California.
Okay. So that's pretty old. There's not much you can do about that. You could request a transcript of your tax situation from the IRS online at irs.gov. That will give you an idea of what was going on, what happened.
Okay. So I wanted to ask, there was no information given as to a court order from the judge. There was no writ. There was no letter of lien sent to me. How were they able to do this with none of those items?
Because everybody else has to get a court order, but tax agencies, all you have to do is just send your proposal by mail, by certified mail, called a notice of deficiency, which gives you 90 days to challenge that tax proposal in tax court. You have to take up the tax court. And if you don't do that, which most people don't because they don't know what to do, I don't have an attorney to help them with it, you will lose by default. Same
okay.
as it was a court judgment in a lawsuit. And then all you have to do is send a garnishment order or levy to your bank or your employer and take your money. Now, they took too much out of your paycheck because, unfortunately, you work for the satanic government of California. These government employees are deathly afraid of the governmental authority. The IRS is God. So they just take everything. Too much. By law, the IRS will leave you. Even as a single, a little over $1,000 a month, at a minimum, for you to survive. But the stupid and corrupt and inept and fearful payroll people of the state of California took a lot more because I don't want to get in trouble with the IRS. I'll take everything and hurt her because I got to protect me from the IRS. You know, that's number one. Sorry. That's what's going on.
So basically, they took all this, and when I called them to give them this information that they took the amount they took, and they left me with nothing for the entire month. No one knew anything. No one had any information they could tell me. It's as though they didn't even know what happened.
Look, I don't even know if the IRS took your money. You should have demanded from the state of California. You can still do that. Say, I want to see that IRS notice of levy that was sent to you, and you're supposed to give it to me by federal law. Give that to me to us so I see what did you take, what amount. I have a right to see that the federal law, the IRS, requires you to give that copy to me. So go to your payroll department and go up.
And in order,
you have a copy of that in there.
And in order for them to, because they were going to take more if I had not said anything. So I called them and told them they needed to stop the levy or whatever garnishment they're continuing to do. And they said, well, you could set up a payment plan. And I'm like, plan, you already took all the money that you said you're going to take. So why would I need a payment plan? And they said, oh, well, we only take 25%. I said, no, I beg to differ. You took my whole check. And they said, oh, well, we only take 25%. I said, no, I have proof. I have stubs that state what you took. And they said, oh, well, they were so only supposed to take 25%. And I said, no, you took probably 99.9% of my check. So I don't understand why I would need a payment plan. And he said, well, we could fax over some information to your human resource department and we can, you know, whatever's left over, if you're not understanding what I'm asking you. I said, you need to own up to what you took from me. And I need to get information stating that you took this.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, well, we'll mail you out something. You know what they mailed me?
Yeah.
A payment plan paperwork form with the balance of the amount of the said
mm-hmm.
amount that they say I owe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what they took
yeah.
and sent to me.
That was not the IRS. That was the California Franchise Tax Board, which by law can only take 25%. It was not the FTB's fault either. It was the stupid people at your payroll company, at your human resource division of the state of California that you work for, they're the idiots that send your whole paycheck
mm-hmm.
to you. You need to go mm-hmm. to them. In fact, you can sue the people who did that, those individuals who did that, that lady who did that for you, that clerk, you can sue her for everything above the 25% they took from you.
Oh, okay. Then I will do that and take that matter to the next level. Now, for as I have been filing exempt. So what form do I file or how am I supposed to go about doing this since I, you know, work for who I work for? What are my options at this point forward?
How long have you been working for the state of California? How old are you?
8 years.
Have you been home? You know, how long?
8 years.
How old are you?
55.
The best suggestion I have for you is to leave California. But do not work for the government, honestly.
Okay. That sounds something that I could do because the type of work that I do, I'm in the medical field, so I guess I could move anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. Come to Florida. There's a shortage of nurses and doctors in Florida.
What's the pay like?
Okay, I'll tell you. Here's the pay in California, okay? I mean, here's the pay in California, right? Here's the cost of living in California. Now, here's the pay in Florida. Here's the cost of living in Florida. You get paid less than Florida. But guess what? Goes a lot farther. Because housing is incredibly cheaper than California, whether you're renting or buying. And the gas is cheaper.
And you mean in Florida?
Yes. And there's no state income tax. It's got low property taxes, low sales taxes, the lowest overall tax in California. So therefore, now that you pay less, your mechanic pays less. Your grocer pays less. Your nail salon pays less. So they charge you less. So cost of living is lower for everything that you do. Understand?
Okay.
How do you go a lot farther?
Even yeah, you're just dealing with different the weather. That sounds good, though.
Okay. Come to Central Florida area, Tampa, Orlando, Ocala area, Triangle. That's where you want to be. Freedom.
Wait, give me those locations again.
Tampa, Orlando, Ocala. That's between those three cities. There's a lot of space there. And it's Freedom. The best place is Central Florida. Anything in Central Florida?
Okay. All right. That'll do it for me. I'm just, it's way time to get rid of the tax. How do you say the tax collar?
Yep, that's right. Free yourself. So you can do exempt right now at your job. Follow the our website directions on how to stop withholding on your paycheck right now. But be sure to get
that
job as soon as you can. 6 months or a year, leave California anyways. Start looking for jobs in Tampa, Orlando area for a nurse. Are you a registered nurse, RN, or regular nurse?
I'm an LVN.
Oh, yeah. Look for LVN jobs out here. You'll find plenty. And then look online how much a place costs, like you're living in California. And you'd be shocked how much less it is. And no traffic, by the way. No, not that awful, crazy L.A. traffic and smog. You'll be free of all that.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Nancy, it was wonderful to hear from you.
You too.
Do you have any? All right. You're welcome. Hopefully meet you one of these days soon. We have another caller, guys. Another caller from area code 949, and the prefix is 302. Okay, my friend, give me your first name only. How you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hector, I heard about Freedom Law School through an interview that you did with Tone Vase on YouTube.
Very good. Very good. And how can I help you?
My question is, I'm in the state of California, and I understand that the federal taxes are unconstitutional. I was just wondering how the California state tax is different from the federal tax code, because I remember you had said before that California has their own IRS and they're much stricter than the federal IRS.
First of all, the federal income taxes are not unconstitutional. It's completely, perfectly legal. What I've said is you go to Freedom Law School's website, I'll show you. You should watch this 9-minute video while you eat your lunch tomorrow or dinner tonight, or listen to it on your drive. There is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. Who is the other 1%? It's citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and people that work for the federal government. They must file and pay income tax. For them, there is a law in the Internal Revenue Code to file an income tax. But as long as you are not a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., or work for the federal government, you don't owe it. That's what I say. Now, be sure not to confuse that. Now, the FTB and the IRS, FTB is an absolutely lawless organization. California is not a liberal state. I am a very liberal, gay, progressive man. Not them. I'm very generous. Liberal means generous. Doesn't mean communist. These guys have twisted and call themselves liberal, but they're actually Marxist, socialist, communist. They want the state tax system from the top, control you like a slave. So they're not liberal. I am. You probably liberal too. Also, I'm not homosexual. Gay means jovial, having a good time. Okay? I'm jovial, happy guy, but I'm not homosexual. Also, I'm very much into human progress and freedom, and knowledge is progress. What they're doing is not progress. They're doing regress back to slavery. So the state of California is a satanic communist state. The court system there is worthless. Okay? FTB, just say everybody, file and pay. That's all they care. That's all they listen. Law is completely broken in the state of California. They passed a law to allow these voting booths throughout the state so they can, every year, they can make a bunch of phony ballots, put them there, and get themselves reelected. The legislature of the state is controlled by over two-thirds, by a veto-proof majority. They control the entire state. So it doesn't matter. You know, the law does not have the FTB. Okay? Some people I know don't pay the IRS in California, but farm pay FTB just to get them off their back. Or better yet, leave. Get out of that traffic jam. Okay? Get out of that smog. High taxes, high control, regulation, where you can't afford to pay rent there. You live in a small place in a not-so-good neighborhood because your pay doesn't buy much in California. How old are you, Hector?
I'm 21 years old, but I don't want to leave because I've spent the last 3 years building my real estate business here, and I just now, in the last 6 months, started, like, making six figures. So, trust me, I've wanted to move to Texas. I'm looking at property in Austin, and I really want to move, but I was thinking maybe I just make an LLC based out of Texas and then transfer all my finances there so that California doesn't know what I'm up to. I don't know if that would work.
Well, I don't think they allow you to do that. And as a real estate agent, I don't think they let you do that. I'm not sure they'll let you do that. Because what you do is regulate it in California. But let me tell you this about real estate. Let me tell you this. I was a real estate mortgage agent when I was your age, when I was still at University of California at Long Beach for 6 months. Now I did 7 years of financial planning. And here's the thing with real estate. When the economy is great, everybody in real estate and real estate loans does great. Everybody, just about. When the Great Depression hits, everybody does well. You know, I'm back in the Great Depression of 08. Every single one of my members who was a real estate agent or a loan agent canceled because they all lost everything they had. Everything. So it doesn't matter whether you're in Orange County or Texas or Florida, you'll do well in real estate. Yes, it'll take you a few months to build your business no matter where you are. Yes, you have to start new. But you're only 21 years old. You're smart. We have a run-up in inflation coming up. Real estate will get hotter and hotter and hotter. Don't be short-term sighted. Long-term, be smart. You're 21. You have no future in California, no family life in California. You will not be able to afford a family in California, have children in California. Get that couch. You're smart. You're doing well. You're still single. Get out. Do it over there, and whatever you want to do, that's my best advice to you. You can stay in California. Deal with all the nonsense of California if you want to. That's fine.
Okay. Well, thanks for the advice.
Let me tell you something. For you, because you're so young, a Royal Freedom Package membership, which is normally $9,900 for the first year, second year after is $4,500. Because you're so young, it's only $1,000.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. $1,000 a year. Because I want to encourage young people who are usually not as smart as you and don't make as well as you at such a young age to join. But doesn't matter. You get that discounted price anyhow, even though you're making six-figure income. And you could afford the full $9,900 anyhow. Because you have no withholding from your paycheck. No withholding, anything, anyhow. So Social Security tax withholding, no income tax withholding, nothing, anyhow. But you can still get that great deal. I recommend do that. It's a steal for someone like you. Do that right away, and I can give you unlimited consultation to guide you through your financial, business, and tax life all at one time, and real estate. Because I know about real estate investing, how to do it also. I advise others how to create real estate investing, buying and selling also. All right, Hector?
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, my friend. You have any more questions, guys? That's it. Okay. Well, as you guys notice, we're having more and more people calling in January. By the way, I got to tell you guys something. We're going to do a big event in April in Brandon, Florida. Yes. The first ever Let's Go Brandon rally, okay, in Florida, in Brandon. It's coming up in the first week of April. So just mark your calendars. We're going to give you more information as we firm things up and all that. It's going to be an event you don't want to miss. So with that, folks, I invite you all this. On your drive to and from work, and shopping, listen to the videos on our website through your cell phone. Put that time in the car to work. Don't listen to music or talk radio. Okay? You have a lot more fun in your drive when you're eager to learn more and be free. Set yourself free by going to the front page of our website. Be sure to watch the 9-minute video right here. Okay? And when you at the end of this 9 minute, it will automatically put you in a playlist of these 5 other short videos that you should watch, okay? These are the playlist. You see on the right side? Yes. These are 5 short videos you should be watching, okay? Get those done, and then you can go back. If you want, on the top left of the box is a longer version of the videos that you're watching. And then go on your education materials tab, okay, and go listen to Dangers of Filing Income Tax Return Page videos and IRS's Mostly Bluff. Yes. Start with these on your way to home, work, shopping for yourself. Then when you're eating, put this cell phone up. Now I can see it. In the drive time, be safe. Don't watch. Pay attention to the road, but listen. Later on, you can go home on your lunch or dinner time. Then you can watch the actual law on the screen as you see it. And that is how you're going to start your journey to freedom, prosperity, love, and happiness. Thank you for watching.